let's go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter. The finer things keep shining through, the way my soul gets lost in you. The finer things are feeling me.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Kelsey Waits. She is the chair of the Hastings Public Schools School Board, and she's here to get us caught up on all the things that are going on. Especially, I know the topic of the last school board meeting was different budget adjustments, and I have to be real honest with you, I am not up to code, and I need to be because I have kids in school. So, Kelsey, great to chat with you. How have you been?
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on because, like I told you earlier, I know that there was a survey sent out recently to parents of school-age kids about some budget adjustments, and some of the questions in the survey itself, I guess I wasn't really up to code on what even the question was about. So I'm wondering if we can just go through and you can give us a little background about what you did talk about at your last school board meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I just want to stress that everything in that budget adjustment survey and everything that we're talking about at the school board level, this is really just an initial first glance at options. This is in no way a definitive list. This is not a final list by any means. This is just really trying to throw out some ideas, see where the school board sits with what these ideas are, see kind of how the community feels about them as well. And again, this is in no way like a list of definitive things that are happening.
You know, that's good to know.
I just want to make that clear.
Okay, yep. I think that's great. And is the school going through some budget adjustments, or are you just planning for the future?
No, so we are currently going through budget adjustments. We do know that there was a deficit going into this school year, which we were expecting due to some staffing changes we had made last year. And we were able to kind of work as a district to come up with some short-term solutions for this coming school year. But for the 2021-2022 school year, we are projecting a deficit of $1.4 to $1.9 million. And so the budget adjustment is really working on figuring out how we level our budget and make sure that we don't go into that school year with that deficit. And so we're doing that work now.
Well, that's pretty smart to do, looking ahead like that. So I'll just go through some of the questions and you can give me a better understanding of what is the meaning behind the questions. So the first one is decreasing the memberships and dues paid by the district. What exactly does that mean, please?
So the district is part of a number of different educational groups, such as C, which is Schools for Equity in Education, AMSD, which is the Association of Metropolitan Schools. And so being a part of these organizations, they help give us resources. You know, we get sent updates on what's going on at the legislature. They organize lobby days for us and things like that. And so these are options that we could choose to step back from those organizations and save some money from that standpoint. I would like to say that if people want more information, at our last work session, we actually went through all of these in the work session along with the cost of them so that you could kind of gauge what kind of impact each of these would have on a $1.4 to $1.9 million deficit. And so if anyone wants more information, that is on Hastings Community TV's YouTube, and it's also on their Facebook page, and so you can go take a look at that as well for more information. This membership dues, for example, about $10,000 in savings.
that's kind of a rounding error when you're looking at 1.4 to 1.9. So, yes. Okay, well, that's good to know. So I know another thing that was talked about was high school six-period day with decreased mm-hmm. programming options.
Yes. So if you actually look at the survey, numbers 4 and 5 both have to do with the high school. And so, again, this is not a definitive list. We're just looking at options. And so the two options that we discussed at the school board for the high school were, first, the possibility of switching to a six-period day. And so why that would be decreased options is just because you can't run as many things in a six-period day as you can at the current seven-period day. And under this scenario, study halls also would no longer be in the mix. That would be a way to make sure students can still get the programming. And so that is an option, the high school six-period day. Is another option at the high school would be we continue to have the seven-period day, but we recognize that class sizes would need to go up. So programming wouldn't decrease, but class sizes would increase. And so this is one of those, you know, we have to weigh one side or the other and see how the community feels, how our staff feels, things like that.
And this is regardless if we are on distance learning or not?
I mean, we're looking at 21-22, and so we're not really planning on continuing distance learning, or okay. We're assuming that we go back to normal at some point.
I'd like to quote you in there. That would be nice. So those questions then are having to do with the high school. And then I know you looked mm-hmm. at middle school staffing changes mm-hmm. through class size adjustments. And again, that's the same, increasing the class size?
Yes. And so there's actually, they do a study on class sizes every year with a bunch of the metropolitan school districts. And so we would actually look at how our class sizes compare to other school districts. And what we've talked about as a board is that we really don't want to go over the average class sizes that other school districts in the metro area have. At the school board meeting, at the work session, we did discuss if we go slightly above the average, and the school board has requested to see what the savings would be if we don't go above the average at all, to kind of compare what cost savings would be at the average of class sizes and slightly above the class sizes.
Who is working on those numbers then? Who actually does those projections?
This is really a joint effort with the district office and the administrators as they look at what class sizes would happen, what those savings would be.
And do the elementary and middle school and high school, do they have different averages for class sizes?
They do, yes. And so when we look at the average class sizes in the metro district, we're comparing elementary to elementary, middle school to middle school, and high school to high school.
Might you know what those are offhand?
At our high school, we have about 27 kids per class. And in the middle school, it puts us at about 28. And in the elementary level, it's at about 22.
And so those are still below average for like-sized districts?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So elementary region-wide is at 23.5. Middle school is at about 28.5. And secondary, so high school, is at about 28. So we're slightly below.
So is that a pretty significant cost savings then if those three school numbers are adjusted?
So either one of the high school options, and what's important is they're coming back to us because the savings that they projected at the last school board meeting were actually based on us going slightly above that regional average. And the school board has said, what would the savings be if we don't go above and we just stick right to the average? So the numbers that we have from the school board meeting are based on going above that average, and I don't have the numbers for at the average. But if we adjust the high school's schedule, either going with the class size adjustments or switching to the six-period day, it's about $900,000. Middle school staffing changes is about $400,000, and elementary is about $300,000.
Significant amount of money. So mm-hmm. the question about utilizing fund balance, can you explain the behind the scenes on that, please?
Yep. So the school district's fund balance is kind of like our savings account. And, you know, we keep a certain amount of money in there to make sure that if there's any unexpected expenses, if there's any issues with funding not coming through at the right time or the funding time changes for any reason, that we have money to get us through a couple months of spending. And so right now our fund balance is we have a healthy fund balance, and we have more than what we would require from school board policy in the fund balance. But transferring from fund balance is still using up some of our savings, and it's not solving the problem. And so fund balance is an option to kind of get us through a tough time, but we still need to make those adjustments. Otherwise, you continue to eat away at your savings account, and eventually you don't have the money that you need.
Just like in our personal lives?
Exactly. Yep, just like in your personal life.
Okay.
And so we've talked about at the school board meeting, you know, we talked about for this school year transferring $200,000 over from the fund balance, and there's no particular reason for that $200,000. We could choose to do more than that or less than that. It's, you know, it says amount variable in the survey, but it's the idea of taking money from our savings account to cover some of the deficit. But importantly, when you go into a year with a deficit of, say, $1.4 million, the next year you would expect that to double just based on cost increases to the district. So if we have a deficit of $1.4 million for the 21-22 school year, then for the 22-23 school year, we would expect to have a budget deficit of almost $3 million. So it very quickly adds up. So just like with your savings account, you don't want to spend that money without having a plan to not have to spend that money in the future.
So I know one of the other ways that you are looking to reduce some costs would be to reduce the building supply budgets. What exactly is in the building supply budget?
So we've actually talked about this most likely being a one-time thing this school year, in particular the 2020-2021 school year. Because of COVID, the schools look a little bit different this year, and we don't have the same need for different supplies. I mean, obviously, we have different costs due to COVID, but that's been able to be covered through CARES funding, for example, and we don't need the typical school supplies in the same way that we normally would. And so we've talked about this really being the one-year thing to get us through as we make these budget adjustments. Not a long-term. We know that teachers already spend their own personal money on school supplies and classroom supplies, and so we don't want to impact that at all. This is really just because due to COVID, we know that there's not a need for the same supplies in a classroom right now, and that the supplies we do need are able to be covered through different funding.
So another thing that was looked at was adjusting the ALC model. Would you tell us what ALC means for people that might not know, and how would you look to adjust that?
Yeah, so the ALC is the Alternative Learning Center. And so we've looked at a couple of different options for what this could look like. Right now, we have our ALC program in the district is in a leased space downtown. And so we also have ALC students who are in Intermediate District 917. And so we've talked about, could we do a different ALC model, such as moving all of our ALC students to 917 and no longer having that leased space in Hastings, or perhaps we can move our students out of 917 and have them all come into Hastings and just increase the size of our current program. Another option would be, can we move out of the leased space and into the high school? And really, there's not a specific model that we would take on yet. It's just really, does the board want to even look at that as an option? And so one thing we know is that a lot of the kiddos who take part in the ALC, they may have left traditional schooling for a reason. They may not feel comfortable going back to the high school. And so these are all things we would need to take into account as we look at a new model, and making sure that we can get the support there for all of our students so that they can really excel.
One of the things I didn't understand also about what you're looking at is suspending technology contributions. What does that mean, please?
Yep. So each year the school board has designated that we would set aside $100,000 into a special fund for technology, similar to how people set aside vacation money if they can, or they set aside specific money into a savings account and they're saving up for something big, right? And so each year the school district sets aside $100,000 into this special fund for technology so that we have a pool of money available to make technology purchases should we need to. And so we have been setting that aside for a number of years now. We have just short of $1 million in that account. And so we've said, can we temporarily suspend that contribution since we know we have some funds available for us right now? And since we know we've been able to use some CARES money to purchase laptops for students and iPads and things like that, can we halt that set aside as we work on these budget adjustments? And so that's $100,000 a year that would just, we would freeze that set aside.
What about health services and changing the model there? What does that mean and how would that be a cost savings for the district?
So this one is estimated a maximum savings of $60,000. So this is not one of the bigger ones. Actually, the rest of them on the list are not super big savings. The changing the health services model, so different districts have their staffing set up in buildings differently than we do. Right now, we have a registered nurse in each one of our buildings. Would we alter that model in any way so that there isn't an RN at each building? Now, if you go back to the school board meeting, it's clear that the school board wants a lot more answers on this because they don't quite understand what the changing model would look like, what impact that would have. And so this is one that the board has said you need to come back to us with more information because we're not quite sure how we feel about this model and just to try to understand it better. But it would just be looking at who's staffed at our buildings for health services.
Kelsey, these are all really important questions, and I like how you are asking for parents to weigh in on what their opinions are on some of this. And if you are a parent, you got a survey sent to you by way of email. So thank you for going over all this tough decisions, but it sounds like you're going to get some good input from people. So we wish the board well in making some of these tough decisions.
Yeah, and I know I said this at the beginning, but I do just want to make sure to stress to the community because I think that when you start to see these options that people immediately assume that this is a list of things that are changing, and that is not the case at all. This is really just we're trying to compile, you know, many different options and just get a feeling of where the board is at with each option, where the community is at, where the staff is at before we even move forward. So this is really just an initial glance, and it's not a definitive list at all.
Well, we certainly appreciate the transparency. Thank you so much, Kelsey Waits. She is the chair of the Hastings Public Schools School Board, and we are grateful for her time today. Thank you, Kelsey. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.